Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30. Roll call, please, Dr. Mitchell.
Sure. Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes, items to be pulled from the agenda? Can we motion?
From staff, I want to draw attention to the board. On the conference request, there are two conferences that have been added to the attachment. One is for my attendance at the Access Superintendents Academy, and another is a conference for Alex Flores to attend in April. So the attachment is correct as on the board agenda, but it was updated after you had received your copy.
Okay. Any more comments, anything? So I need a motion for the agenda.
I'll move.
Donna Freeman, move.
Second.
Angelina, second.
I have to.
Please say aye.
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 Motion carried. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session? Oh, no.
That's right.
Public comments on closed session?
There are none.
None. Okay, let's recess to closed session.
Just need to note the time.
That time is 4:31. Take pictures.
Tweet
it out. Good idea. Sometimes we even do picture the view from our.
I have to tell you guys about that. Oh, sorry. Locked in my hands, ripple.
Ready? All right. Good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:04. Flag salute. Next, we'll have the flag salute. We're honored to be led by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Roland Elementary School student Jaden Soto and Anna Butler.
Rise. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jalen and Alana. Next item, closed session report, and there's no closed session report at this point. Number 3C, board recognition. We're going to move to the board recognition. I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect, thank you. Mm-hmm. So at this time, I would like, if Teresa Healy will come to the podium, we're first going to recognize our California School Boards Association Golden Bell Award recipients. And then we will be also recognizing our Walnut Valley Rotary Club and Roland Elementary School. For the special services for groups, which is the dental program we've had at the Family Resource Center, they are not able to join us tonight, but we did still want to recognize them. So if we could have the board come down.
Everybody?
There we go. Now I'm on. Thought I had the light on. Good evening. The Roland Unified School District Board of Education and I are extremely proud tonight to honor the work of our dedicated staff that resulted in our district being awarded two Golden Bell Awards by the California School Boards Association at the annual CSBA conference in San Diego on Thursday, November 30th. The CSBA Golden Bell Award promotes excellence in education and school board governance by recognizing outstanding educational programs throughout California. Tonight we are recognizing Nogales High School Success Academy and the district's English Language Development Program portfolio. If I could ask the representatives from Nogales High School Success Academy to come on in. Yes, right in the middle. It'd be important. Nogales High School Success Academy is an intervention program that takes a unique approach to student intervention by addressing the whole child, social, emotional, and academic needs for our at-risk students. Since implementation, the Nogales Success Academy has positively impacted the climate and culture throughout the entire school. The school-wide data reflects an overall 50% decrease in the number of discipline suspension incidents and a significant increase in students on track to graduate post-secondary education. It is innovative due to its purposeful development focus that academic achievement and successful future for students cannot happen without first building a strong social-emotional foundation. By addressing these two key areas simultaneously, the program has evidenced exemplary results in students' academic and personal lives. It accomplishes this with three comprehensive intervention and support elective courses that help students to achieve. The SERV program helps students improve their academics by building strong social family-like bonds through embedded peer and adult mentoring systems. The HOUSE program is a cohort model with the same core teachers in English, math, and science, which also assists students with intensive socio-emotional support and relevant curriculum. The OPPORTUNITY program provides a double block period that allows students to recover lost credits and provide support so that they are able to reach and maintain credits and grades to graduate. Congratulations to Nogales High School and our Success Academy. Now you have to have the paparazzi. We have a bell. We have some more paparazzi. Are they all done? Okay. Congratulations to Nogales High School and the Success Academy. Next, if I could have our district's English Language Development Portfolio team come up. Our district's English Language Development Portfolio Program Our district's English language development portfolio program has built the capacity of teachers to provide English language instruction that aligns to the rigorous expectations outlined in the California ELD standards. This has helped educators across the district assess the language development needs of K-12 English learners to help achieve effective teaching strategies to increase academic achievement. Through a focused study on the standards, a collaboratively developed assessment tool, and classroom-embedded instructional coaching, the teachers are engaging English learners in learning activities that improve their ability to communicate, collaborate, and think critically in their core content classes. The electronic format of the portfolio gives students a broader, more authentic audience which supports their language development. This year, the district will launch an electronic student portfolio which focuses on integrating technology into high-quality instruction for all students. Congratulations to our ELD portfolio team for their award. Pretend like you like each other so the paparazzi can fit you in. Yes. All right, congratulations to our ELD team.
Still more. So next, we would like to recognize the Walnut Valley Rotary. Hi, Jane. How are you? Hi, Raj. Come on in. Please, come up. So the Roland Unified School District would like to thank the Walnut Valley Rotary for their continued support to the students and the community of the Roland Unified School District. This past December, the Walnut Valley Rotary, you have to stand right there in the middle in front of everybody. Yes. So this past December, the Walnut Valley Rotary was instrumental in supporting our families that are in need with holiday meals. Working in partnership with district employees Gina Ward and Kathy Rodriguez, Larry and Raj, who's here, provided over 200 families with a holiday meal, complete with a turkey or a ham, fresh produce, and other non-perishable items. Additionally, the Walnut Valley Rotary treated our kinder students at Roland Elementary. We have John Martinez that's here, can present some of these to you. At Roland Elementary, our students were treated to a visit from Santa. They all received a wrapped gift, hot chocolate, a holiday movie, and crafts. This effort was led by Ted Ebenkamp and John Martinez at the school site. So our students have written some thank you notes that John would like to prepare or provide to the Rotary Club. The Rotary has also provided the district with grant opportunities. The Rotary District Grant was awarded to Roland Unified School District to support our work of foster students. The grant monies will be used to establish a mentor program between Roland Unified School District foster youth and Mount SAC young adults who were former foster youth students. And lastly, we were recently awarded and notified that we were successful by being awarded the Rotary Leffler Grant. And these funds will be used to eliminate a barrier frequently identified by our homeless population, which is consistent access to technology and to the internet. So we're very, very appreciative of the support from the Walnut Valley Rotary and what you give to our school community as a whole and that partnership that you've built to serve our students. So thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. I will gladly take those. Thank you. And I'm smart enough to turn them over to Brandy. So there we go.
So the last was just recognizing the dental group that had worked with our school district. They aren't here this evening, but we will be mailing their certificates. So we've had a 43-year history with a group of volunteer dentists that have provided dental services. It was a grant-funded opportunity, and that grant has concluded. And so they still are available for consult and for liaisons to our work, but they weren't able to join us for our meeting tonight. So, again, we just want to make sure that they know how much we valued that long history with them. And we will send them their certificates.
All about the bragging.
Okay, I'd like to thank the Roland Elementary students, parents, and staff, and community members for providing the refreshments at tonight's board meeting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, next item is Roland Elementary's Spotlight Report. Roland L., Lenny Davis, and Tracy Delgada, and the students Jaylene Soto, Elena Butler, Michaela Wilkes, Jocelyn Barron will provide a brief report highlight Roland Elementary.
Good evening, Roland Unified School District board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, Roland educators, and community members. I'm John Martinez, principal of Roland Elementary. It's quite an honor to come here tonight to have our students and teachers share a little bit about our school. We have students from our fifth and sixth grade student leadership team, along with their teachers, Mrs. Delgada and Mrs. Davies. So I'll hand it over to them.
Good evening. My name is Lonnie Davies, and it is a privilege to be here tonight representing Roland Elementary School. We have many great programs and events happening at our school, and tonight we will be sharing with you some of the successes, including our Family Learning Night, our progress with the Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports Program, also known as PBIS. And I'm going to start off with sharing with you the work that we've been doing with Writing Workshop. In order to impact the learning of our students, the teachers at our school have made a school-wide commitment to begin using a writing program that would be consistent across all grade levels. At Roland Elementary, we are now using the Teachers College unit of units of study with our students, all the way from the little ones at the TK level to the big kids up at fifth and sixth grade. In order to be successful with this program, our school leadership team has developed professional development modules, organized opportunities for teachers to collaborate across grade level teams, and has implemented a plan to help guide our work for the school year. The implementation of the units of study through writing workshop has allowed for the teachers to guide our students to write with increasingly complexity and greater sophistication. Now let me introduce to you Alana Butler and Michaela Wilkes, who will be sharing their thoughts about our family learning night that we had in the fall.
Hello, my name is Alana Butler. Family Learning Night was a night where families and students came together. Family Learning Night gave the students a chance to learn and spend time with their friends and family. The event allowed everyone to have fun while learning. Family Learning Night was an opportunity for everyone to participate. It also showed parents what students have been doing throughout the school year.
Good evening. My name is Michaela Wilkes. Not only did it show parents what students were doing, but it taught students about coding, different types of technology, and art. The event made students, parents, even teachers use their minds in different ways than what they are used to. Some of these events include a pumpkin drop challenge, a marshmallow catapult, and a bebop challenge. Family Learning Night helped to give us the tools and show us the skills of everyday things.
Good evening. My name is Tracy Delegata, and it's an honor to stand in front of you and share about our wonderful school. We are currently in year two implementation of PBIS. We have a school-wide matrix as well as grade-level matrices. We frequently hand out pride incentive tickets for kids who are caught showing pride in the classroom, at lunch, recess, before school, after school, you name it. We have involved every employee at Roland Elementary in this process, making sure every aspect of the school day is covered. Students get recognized in their class as well and have a variety of choices as to how they want to celebrate their successful behavior. Students are also recognized at our assemblies held twice per month. Our weekly Friday assemblies, where Mr. Martinez leads our school in chanting pride, has become a favorite and has been a positive strategy in our support of positive student behaviors. A positive school environment has and continues to unfold at Roland Elementary. Mr. Martinez's leadership has provided an atmosphere where all feel welcome. He demonstrates pride daily, which encourages others to do so as well. He has positively changed the culture on our campus. I would like to thank him for his hard work and dedication to the students, staff, and families at Roland Elementary. Most of all, thank you for your leadership. It has set our school apart from others and has made my job as a teacher here more enjoyable and more rewarding. Let me introduce Jaylene Soto and Jocelyn Baran, who will be sharing the student perspective of the implementation of Rascal Pride.
Good evening. My name is Jaylene Soto, and I will be talking about Pride. Pride is a great way to show students their school expectations. It shows us how to behave and how to cooperate with others. We learn pride to become better students and leaders. Pride means to make good choices, think about others, to not be afraid to make mistakes. Pride helps us to be determined to what we are doing.
Hi, my name is Jocelyn Brent. Pride helps us stay organized with our school rules. Pride makes us understand the rules of Roland Elementary School. At our school, we have been working on this. Everyone cooperates with the school and shows Rascal Pride. Pride is a way to show us to be respectful.
So before we close, we have some staff and parents that came out to support us. So if we could please stand and recognize them, or if you can please stand, actually. So thank you again for allowing us to share some snapshots about the work that we're doing here at Roland Elementary School. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. Thank you, Roland L. Next, the superintendent report, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much. And so this evening, I'm pleased to share with the community, with the board, that we are preparing for one of our biggest events of the year where our community can discover all that our district has to offer. It's the Roland Unified School District Showcase, and it's on Saturday, February 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Roland Heights Community Center. All Roland schools and programs are under one roof, as each school is spotlighted with booths, three stages for student entertainment and presentations. Highlights of the day include robotics displays and information booths on RUSD music programs, college prep, AVID, IB, dual language immersion programs, parent resources, our college partnerships that guarantee college admissions, and RUSD jobs. Families can have fun in the Kids Zone with Kids Crafts provided by our Family Resource Center and Health and Fitness by our RUSD PE specialists. Nutrition Services will provide tasty samples of delicious new menu items, and guests will be wowed with a student art show. There is a courtesy shuttle that's offered from Hurley Elementary, Giano, Nogales High School, and Roland High School. For complete information and the entertainment schedule, the public can visit our website at rolandschools.org and click on the Roland Unified School District Showcase event. Also, registration for the 18-19 school year. I know we just turned to the new year, but our mind is already beginning to talk and think about the 18-19 school year. So registration for the 18-19 school year kicks off on Monday, February the 5th, where new students and transitional kindergarten and kindergartners can register online at our district website, rolandschools.org/enroll. And new families are encouraged to visit our schools on our school tour day, which is Tuesday, February 6th, with tours offered at all of our schools at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. And lastly, our community is very excited that our neighbors, the Roland Heights Library, will be celebrating their re-grand opening with a ribbon cutting on Wednesday, February 7th at 3:30. So we encourage our community to come out and support the grand opening or re-grand opening of the Roland Heights Library, which is right next door to our district office. Before I conclude, I think, are we keyed up? We teed up here? We wanted to show a snapshot of a video that we have.
It's a big decision planning your child.
Go. Oh, it's okay, go.
Child's future. So why choose Roland Unified? We are
committed. Committed to innovative learning for all.
We believe in unlimited opportunities for our students.
And we are passionate
about doing whatever it takes for students to succeed.
We have award-winning schools and programs.
Our students thrive, achieve,
and discover.
I'm prepared for any challenge that comes my way.
We are future ready.
We love our school!
Discover the schools of Roland Unified. Plan your child's future. Attend our showcase at the Community Center on February 3rd.
Google Roland Showcase for more information.
If you've been to the movies lately at the AMC Theater, you will have seen a version of this play prior to every movie. And so we have been advertising our district very globally and encouraging people to come and check out our district. We're very proud of the work that our staff does in providing support and services to our students and our community as a whole. And so we look forward to seeing you on February 3rd at the showcase. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for the report. The next item is the student representative report. The first, Nogales High School. We will start with the report from Juanica Ruaro, the ASB Executive Secretary of Nogales High School.
Good evening, everyone. Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the cabinet, and members of the community. My name is Maria Junica Ruaro, and today I am your student representative for Nogales High School. As the month of December ends and a new year and a new month moves in, the second semester starts wrong for Nogales High School. Right before we went on winter break, the Noble Regiment hosted their annual winter concert on December 14th. Our Nobles performed alongside the Giano and Telsis Color Guard. The following day, RUSD's combined orchestras held their own annual winter fest at the Mount SAC Sophia B. Clark Theater. Along with that, our drama club will be holding auditions on the 18th and 19th of January for the up-and-coming play and production, All in the Timing. Moving on to our Noble athletes, we recently had our 2017-2018 girls soccer team start their league season on the 10th with a 5-0 win over Gladstone High School. Our Lady Nobles, JC Combe, Jackie Gonzalez, and Zerlina Gonzalez all scored a successful goal. And our MVP of the day, Renee Avila, scored too. As for some other important events, our Nobles have some new opportunities to gain some new experiences and scholarships. Students are able to further foster their entrepreneurial spirit, whether in a club or with their own startup, by listening to a panel on Saturday, January 20th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Pacific Palms Resort. The speakers will be discussing their high school experience in developing impactful initiatives that help them find their career interests and also help them secure their place within the world's best colleges. For our students who are artistically inclined, they will have the chance to win college scholarships and other prizes. The prompt, LA is blank, M-I-L-A, allows students to create works that address themes of identity, culture, place, or other concepts related to the prompt. Submissions will be accepted in any of these four categories: visual arts, performing arts, creative writing, and film and media arts. Some future events include our elective fair that will be coming up on this following week on January 25th. I will definitely be looking forward to many more events and sharing them with everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Juanica, for your report. Next is that we received a report from Matthew Cho from Roland High School.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Matthew Cho, and I am a student representative of Roland High School. Since the last meeting, the majority of Roland's time has been on break. However, our students and faculty have remained active in the community. Throughout the break, our winter sports practiced diligently to prepare themselves for their upcoming season. Our girls and boys wrestling team participated in several tournaments where Alex Ramirez placed first in the West Coast Classic in Rosemead, second place in the Las Vegas Holiday Classic, and first place in the Nogales Tournament. Richard Rojo placed first in the West Coast Classic, second in the Las Vegas Classic, and second in the Nogales Tournament. Josh Avila placed second in the Las Vegas Holiday Classic. On the girls' side, Cheyenne Bowman placed second in the La Puente Tournament, first in the San Dimas Tournament, and first in the Queen of the Hill. Our girls' basketball team placed second in the Ontario Christian Tournament, while our girls' soccer placed third in the Ontario Christian Tournament. In addition, we had multiple students enjoy volunteering at the Regency Grand Senior Home in West Covina throughout the break. That leads us to the beginning of our second semester at Roland. On the first day back, we had a scheduled distribution which went smoothly and successfully. The following Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, many of our students volunteered in conjunction with the University of Laverne for their annual community service project. Our students made quilts for both a shelter and animal shelter in Pomona, painted walls, and worked with a nonprofit on environmental issues. On Tuesdays, the 16th, Roland had their annual Renaissance theme revealing rally. This year, we took a different idea and had students sing a song while other students acted out a battle scene, since this year's theme is Super Raiders. Overall, it grabbed everyone's attention and was enjoyable to watch. Our Renaissance Assembly will be Friday, February 23rd, which is designed to recognize our students for their academic excellence for their first semester. Tomorrow, Roland will be having their winter sports rally during lunch to shine light on the winter sports. Athletes from soccer, wrestling, girls' water polo, and basketball will play a game and advertise for their matches. On Tuesday the 23rd, we'll be having another blood drive with the Red Cross to allow students and staff to donate blood to those in need. That following Tuesday, Thursday, the 25th, Roland will be hosting their first ever open house called Ready, Set, Roland! from 6 to 8 p.m. Open to everyone, this is an opportunity for the community to see what Roland High School is all about. Students and staff will be all be present from a variety of clubs and activities on campus to show off how amazing our school is, even using the construction as an attraction. On Monday the 29th, seniors will have their January senior event called Jamming January, where seniors will be given free McChickens from McDonald's. On Thursday, February 1st, we will be having our annual Power 106 game, where we'll be having a radio station bring out people to play our teachers in a friendly game of basketball. This event is to raise money for Renaissance program, but more importantly, for the students and teachers to have fun. On Monday, February 5th, we'll be having our senior responsibility assembly, where we'll be going over all of the important information for the remainder of the year, including but not limited to graduation, grad night, and prom. In addition, on February 5th, ASB applications will be going out for the 2018-2019 school year. This means that student leaders on campus are going to be running for positions, one being my own. I can assure you that each candidate all tried to make their future year better than the last and always want to improve the school one step at a time. Therefore, with a new batch of students leading the school comes new ideas and such. In all, Roland students are continuously showing their ability to be thinkers, communicators, and contributors. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Next is Santana High School. Greg Garcia, the ASB president of Santana High School, will provide his report next.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to provide you with an update on what we've been up to in ASB with Ms. Mauna and what's coming soon. In October, we had a big canned food drive and collected over 200 cans of food for those in need. After, in November, we had a blood drive through the American Red Cross, and we finished the year with many holiday-themed fundraisers, such as making tree ornaments, Christmas stockings, and table runners. Just this past week, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day by making posters celebrating him and putting them all over the school. Continuing with giving back to the community, we are soon going to participate in the Pennies for Patients program to raise money for the Leukemia Foundation. And we have another blood drive coming up in April. As you can see, there's a lot going on and much more coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Next item is STEP report. Dr. Mitchell, the LCAP report. Yeah, the students' homework, and you're free to go if you like. You want to stay if you like. Thank you.
Perfect. At this time, as we transition, we will be sharing about our LCAP. So we are starting with the start of the new year. We are beginning our LCAP process, and Teresa Healy will share with the board and our community what we will be doing in the coming months as we prepare our local control accountability plan.
Well, good evening, board and members of our community. It just feels like I'm just back here again to talk about the LCAP. So, you know, oh, wait, I am back here again to talk about the LCAP. I want to give you an update on the overview of the revision process. As you recall, there are some changes that occurred with the 17 through 20 LCAP. And so I want to remind you of that and then share the timelines for those revisions. So for those of you that are not as familiar with our LCAP, the LCAP is the plan that reflects our district's programmatic and budgetary priorities. So it is the one document that lines both of those things up. We are required to provide information about all of the 8 state priorities in our LCAP, and that the planning process ensures stakeholder input. We're required to have stakeholder input. It's part of our plan. We're required to meet with certain groups, required to show the accountability of our students and how they are progressing. The 8 state priorities, if we start at the bottom, include basic services, which you see often in our board agenda item as Williams items, and so we share with you those metrics. But also, as we approved just 2 meetings ago, we had the local measures, and a lot of those are in those basic services. We're required to do something about improving course access for students, so access to high-level courses such as A, B, and IB programs, but also student support services or courses, just like you saw tonight with our SERV and other Success Academy courses. School climate, you heard about our Roland Elementary and their success with their PBIS program. It's about improving outcomes for kids with behavior and attendance. Student achievement, we want to make sure that our kids are performing academically both in our English language arts and math areas. We will be coming on with science very shortly, and then also our EL students as they are progressing through their English learning opportunities. We are also required to watch our student engagement, make sure our students are engaged on campus but also behaving well and attending well, so we look at absenteeism and suspensions and expulsions. We also look at our parent involvement. We know that parents are partners in our education, and so what are we doing to include them in the program? Our implementation of course standards. So are we making sure that we're implementing the standards and the frameworks in all of our areas, including career tech? And then other student outcomes, and this is where the local portion of our plan comes into play. So things in our LCAP include things like our Music for All program, our planning process for our teachers so that we can meet the needs of our community. In 2017 and 20, that's our current plan. The plan itself changed a bit. There were some revisions to the template, and that is a state template that we are required to meet and to follow. So the changes that occurred in what is our current plan was an addition of a plan summary. I know that everyone wants to read 124 fascinating pages of our LCAP, but sometimes not everyone has the opportunity or the time. And so there is an addition of a plan summary that does give an overview of our LCAP so that as a community member you can just get the highlights of it. Or anybody else, I suppose our board members could too. It is a 3-year inclusive plan. In the past, it had been a 3-year rolling plan so that we always had a 3-year plan. It was sort of disheartening on my side that I was always in year 1 and never got to get to be in year 2. But in next year, we will get to be in year 2, so it will be a 3-year plan. We will not be writing a fresh write of the plan. So it will be year 2 of our 3-year plan, and then the following year will be year 3. So that is a big change for us and probably the most significant in what we will do for revisions. Additionally, the other big change is the specific ties to the evaluation rubrics. In our first versions of the plan, the assessments were not in place. Many of the metrics were not in place, and so we truly were locally able to determine what those were. And so we're now having to realign and put them into the state. And we did do that with our 17 to 20 plan. As there are revisions with some of those rubrics, we will make those adjustments, but at this point we're pretty current. There were some design changes, so if you compared the 16 through 19 plan to the 17 to 20 plan, they did do some things to make the plan more easy to read and more user-friendly for those of us writing and those of us using the plan, as well as the community to read it. And those design elements will continue to stay. And then another requirement was that we had to very clearly show with check marks and explanations about our plan, services, and actions about how they were contributing to the increased or improved services to students. We couldn't just say, gosh, we want to do this, and you just have to believe that it was good for kids. We had to show you that it was going to be better for students and increase their service and their performance. So as I said, this plan will be the second year of our three-year plan, and so what will need to occur, because even though it is a second year of a three-year plan, we do need to continue to adjust and revise and be cognizant of the idea that we are here to serve our students and that there are differences in our budgets, and so there are some things that will take place. So the first one is that we will add an LEA addendum, and it will be an additional piece on the back of the 124 pages. So the LEA addendum for federal funds. And in the past, we have asked the board to approve a separate plan, which was called the LEA plan, so the Local Education Authority plan, that was very specific to our title funds, so our Title 1, 2, 3, and in the past 4 and 5 funds. So we will, you'll be seeing that, and that template has just come out, and so we will be sharing that template with you as soon as the revisions are final. We will also be required to revise the actions based on our dashboard data and state indicators. So in the past few board meetings, we have shared some of that information with you about what we have done with either the grids for academic achievement or our local indicators, and so we are required to make adjustments to our actions to address those areas of need. And so that is new. We've been encouraged to do so, but we haven't been required to do so, and we will have to actually show where we had made those changes to support those subgroups. And then the annual update is still an annual update, so we will report on the year one of the plan, what we have done, and what we perceive to be the improvements for students that occurred because of those actions. So that is what you'll see in the plan changes. So significantly will be the addendum and then some revision of the actions. And the annual update it'll look the same, but it will be just based on this year. So as a reminder, our LCFF, we have our state indicators that are all in place or working towards being in place at this time. So our academic indicator has to do with our new SBAC testing. And that has to do, you know, you've seen it as the grid, the 5x5 grid or the color chart, whatever you'd like to call it, the dashboard. Those, you can see where kids are proficient in both English language arts and math, and both district-wide, school-wide, and then in subgroups. Our progress towards English proficiency, as we have transitioned into our LPAC, which is our new assessment, our students are beginning to take that in, I just believe, a few weeks. That assessment will also be a part of that information that we will need to share and address. Our high school graduation rate has always been a part of our LCAP because that has been a consistent measure for us. Our college and career readiness indicator is new. Besides the fact that we would like our kids to graduate, we'd like them to graduate ready to either take on a career or college or be ready to work towards that, the world of work. And so there are very specific requirements that show that our kids are ready, and those include students either completing their A to G requirements, completing and passing an AP or IB test, or completing a CTE sequence. And that also requires that they are a high school graduate. So they may have completed the sequence but not be a high school graduate. They don't count. And then also looking at our measures of student engagement, which include our suspension rates by grade span and also our chronic absence rates. So this grid should be familiar to you. Dr. Huff shared this with us last spring. We are in the 17 and 18 year, so that second green column. And so we are above that dark line, we are all in place. So we have our academic indicator in place, college and career indicator, which has just a... doesn't have a color yet, but it has a status. English learner indicator, we are giving the LPAC summative test this year, so we will get results from that. Our graduation rate and suspension rate indicators are in place. We are continuing to work towards including the science test with the new NGSS standards, so that will field test this year, as well as the alternative assessment for our highest risk students, special ed students. And then for our... alternative ed programs, they have not been held to the same academic rules, I guess, and so we have an alternative accountability for them, and that will be piloted this year. We will also pilot the chronic absenteeism and the local indicators. So as a review, our Roland Unified District, we have a district plan, we have an LEA plan, we have some goals, and the nice part of that for our district is we did align all of those goals and actions together. So regardless of which plan you look at, we're not going in one direction with one plan and a different direction. They are lined up together. So our first goal is about academic achievement for all students. And again, we want to make sure that we provide a comprehensive, well-rounded, rigorous educational experience for all of our students. We want to make sure that they are supported with engaging teaching strategies, that we provide high-quality professional development to support our staff to achieve that, and that we want all of our students in, you know, overall and within subgroups to meet and exceed those growth targets. Our second goal is about college and career readiness and our 21st century skills. We want to make sure that our students have the opportunity to take and complete A to G requirements, enroll in and be successful in our AP and IB courses, honors courses, expand and continue to support our stellar career tech education and STEM courses, and then activities throughout the district that support our students having those 21st century skills, which you heard referred to many times from our high school students tonight. Goal three is about communication and collaboration. We're committed to a culture of collaboration and open and transparent communication. We've made a lot of efforts in the past few years to really open that up and increase that, and I think we've continued to work towards that. Goal number four is about fiscal responsibility and facilities. We want to make sure that we are being good stewards of our fiscal dollars and that we are managing and allocating our finances to the best possible maximization for our students' experiences and making sure that we do stay solvent because that's important. And then also making sure that our facilities are in good repair and are conducive to our student learning. And then goal number five is student and staff safety and wellness. We want to make sure that our staff and our students are healthy and safe on our campuses and that we support that with various programs in a variety of ways and venues. And then goal number six is about leadership. We want to make sure that our leadership continues to grow at all levels of our organization from the you know student level, as we saw tonight with our Roland L students, and we've seen many nights with our student spotlights, but all the way up to our superintendent and board, that we are growing our leadership and continue to support that. And you see that in lots of the work that occurs. So the process to update our LCAP, and as I said, it will be a revision but not a complete revision. So in some ways it's a little bit abbreviated but still important to hear from our stakeholders and to have the conversations with those that we serve. So tonight, to keep you guys informed, we will have an overview of the process tonight. So this is occurring right now on January 18th. During the study sessions on February 22nd and then again on March 22nd, we will review each of the specific actions in goals 3 through 6 and then goals 1 and 2. And the reason for that is because goals 1 and 2 are the academic goals, and we have better data a little bit later into the year, and so we can give a more full report. And so we will, during the study session, have an extended time to work through the goals and actions and what's been occurring. We're also... we've had some really great community and parent input from our stakeholders. And so we are required, as I said earlier, there are some groups we're required to meet with and then the opportunity for just the community-wide to give us information. And so our superintendent's parent council serves as our parent advisory council, so our Title I parent group in essence. And so we meet with them twice, once to share with them how we're doing for the year. And then so that will occur in February at their February 15th meeting. And then on May 3rd, we will come back with our proposed plan, and they have the opportunity to preview that as well before it comes to the board. Our DLAC is the same situation, but our English Learner Advisory Committee. And so we are required to have our English learners' parents, because they are a significant subgroup for our district, required to have them have input as well.
Ms. Healy, would you explain any of the abbreviations as you go along?
Yes. So our DLAC is our District English Language Advisory Committee. And that is our group that advises us about how to best support our English language learners. And it's made up of representatives from each school. There is one representative as an English language student's parent. And so they are elected by their school sites. And so they represent their English learner parents to us at the district. And that's a group that meets regularly. They meet, I believe it's every month, and they talk about all kinds of issues. But they will be talking about our LCAP in February again. What have we done? A preview. And then in April to review the plan. And then we are also having an open community meeting on March 6th, and we may move it. I have it scheduled at the district office now, but we may move it to a larger facility so that anybody in the community, parents or staff or whoever, can come and share with us what they think about our LCAP or what input they would like towards the district. Uh, And then because Dr. Mitchell just has to have as much pizza as possible. No, I'm kidding. We really value our student focus groups. We've had the opportunity to meet with a representative group from all three of our high schools, both of our middle schools, our K-8 schools, which includes elementary students, and then we found a few representative elementary schools that sort of give us the whole lay of the district. And so we will be meeting with them in a lot of dates, as you can see. We do spend significant time with them. We bring a whole cadre of folks in and talk in small groups and ask them their opinions about all kinds of things. And they very readily share. So we get a lot of good information about the LCAP, but then also other things. So we will continue to do that with our groups. And then our employee and associations, we are, again, required to meet with our employee groups. And so we will be meeting with ARE at their Rep Council meeting in February. We are working with CSEA to try to find a date. I believe it will be their March member meeting. And then our DLT, which is our administrative group, our district leadership team. And Association of Roland Administrators, I always have to think about what that one stands for. We will be meeting with them at their regular meeting in February as well. So those are required groups, again, that to meet with. All of them are represented. All of our employees are represented in those three groups. But if you wanted to, just as an employee who wasn't part of the leadership, you could certainly come to the open community meeting as well. And then we will have, again, a community survey that will be out for all of anybody in the community, whether staff, employees, students, parents, anyone. We believe it will begin on March 1st and go through the 15th so that we can get some information. And, again, that's a great place to get a lot of narrative information from folks because they have an opportunity to write. The other expectation of the state is that we have an LCAP council, so we have a stakeholder leadership group, and that we meet together and, again, review the LCAP, the feedback, the suggestions, what's occurring in our LCAP, and then also they would provide a lot of work input towards the work, and so they actually come to, like, our student meetings and our community meetings and hear the input, and then they will come back together on May 3rd to help us with that revision. So we will be meeting the first meeting with March 15th and then on May 3rd. And the composition of the LCAP Council is representative of our district, so we find parents and community and staff, and so it's very representative of our whole stakeholder group. And then, and I know this is confusing because I'm looking forward, but I do have to present the 2017-18 annual report to the board and the community, so that's about this year's LCAP and this year's actions. And so at the June 5th board meeting, and it must be at a regularly scheduled board meeting, which is why I know it's a big meaty item, but it needs to be presented at a regularly scheduled board meeting, and so that will occur on June 5th. So we will review the data, the metrics, and also an evaluation of the actions and services. And then with that, we will also present the draft of the 18-20 LCAP as well. So both of those things occur as separate items, and then we will approve it on June 14th. On the requirement for the June 14th meeting is that we approve the LCAP and the budget on the same evening. So they have to be approved together. So that is our update as we know right now. So any questions?
Questions for Lynn?
I have two questions. Since we have a pretty nice group in our audience today, as the meetings come close for community members, are they on the website? How do people find out about those meetings?
So we advertise them on the website, and that includes the district website and the school websites. And then we send it out as a flyer on PeachJar, which is our electronic flyer system. And then we ask the principals to do a call as well, so to actually call their parents.
And then my second question has to do with when they call it a local control funding. However, the state throws all kinds of things in the middle of it that they want us to do. What happens to your plan as you go along when the state throws monkey wrenches into your spending?
So thankfully, we haven't had big monkey wrenches lately. But we know part of the, if I can go back on my slides, we do know the expectation of the 8 state priorities, so the fact basic services that our facilities are in good repair, that every student has a textbook, that our teachers are credentialed, those are expectations that we are required to meet. And so when we write our LCAP, we obviously include our staff, we include our deferred maintenance budget to make sure that we can maintain our schools. So those pieces are put in there. There's a lot of choice in the sense of like how many AP courses I want to offer or which AP courses. They have an expectation that I increase access. So but there's also, and what I'm not sure what will be a question for me as I work with the county and our team as we work through writing the plan, will be, as some of the new metrics have come on, the expectation of changing. So if we decide that maybe a dashboard item isn't, you know, moving as fast as we would like it to, and we want to put additional actions or change actions, what feedback they will give us about whether that's good enough or enough or that kind of thing. So that will be a process that we will have to learn as we go through. And as we work through the LCAP, we do work closely with the Los Angeles County Office of Education because they are our plan reviewer. As budget things come down from the state, so the governor just released his budget. I think it's been about a week or a week and a half. There are some things in there that we're already saying, oh, yeah, we have to spend money that way. So, but most of the LCAP is about the supplemental and concentration dollars. We do have to account for all of the dollars in a general sense, but I do have to account specifically for the supplemental concentration, which is a very finite dollar amount.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions, board?
All right.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Mitchell, any comments?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Okay, remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by votes of the board. Maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to the staff following the presentation. Okay, this order. Mr. Roy Humphrey.
Okay, once again, thank you for all the good things you do, and Happy New Year, but is it really new? Mr. Malcolm noted at the Coordinating Council meeting earlier in the month that the RUSD was 21st Century School District, and I say, really? 21st Century School Districts are video recording their public meetings, i.e. this board meeting, and posting them on their sites for all to share in the district history and information. Yes, significant improvements have been made, but should have been completed in 2010. That's another subject. 21st century districts understand that and adhere to the 10% rule in bond issue construction. Character counts. 21st century districts support the people's will and trust in constitutionally mandated bond oversight committee without reservation, which you know has not been the case statewide, and this district is no exception. Just view the video on my YouTube channel of the last board bond oversight committee meeting, which was shameful. And also, does the anti-bullying rules apply to the bond oversight committee? Was the announcement of plans to correct the Nogales multipurpose room so as to make it functionally as intended? I ask Chairman Harry Peterson about deficiencies or see the video. Yes, the north side has been living in the ghetto for so long that they are overlooking the multipurpose room, but the crying woman does not forgive the unconscionable one-story, no-toilet substitution for a two-story, no-toilet classroom building promised. As Henri Ami notes, truth is violated by falsehood, but outraged by silence. And yes, transparency is more than a buzzword. Transparency means accountability. It is rumored that attorney told this district to use as vague as possible language in the bond measure in order to avoid being held responsible. And I say, really? We are all thankful that we did not have to endure another Macy's parade debacle. And by the way, where is Mrs. Wilson? And where's the $25 million? We must also thank Ms. Ebenkamp for letting the cat out of the bag 2017. And by the way, John Grant is still waiting for his Bond Oversight Committee acknowledgement letter. And as we say, the only way we can move forward is if we're honest about our past. Thank you.
So next one is Mr. William Harrison.
I'm here to speak on behalf of Roland High School and Nogales High School. I had the opportunity to visit the two schools, and I was left most impressed. I had the opportunity to work with Mrs. Clifford and Ms. Tamanaha at Nogales and Mrs. Reed, at Roland. Outstanding administrators. I'm a 40-year teacher. I've been through a lot of evaluations. So I know what to look for. I was at East School 4 to 5 days, 2 to 3 hours. I stayed in classrooms for 15 to 20 minutes. So I had a thorough look at the way the program works. I honestly tell you that I walked out there knowing that we have outstanding teachers. We have a lot of rigor in the classroom. We have teachers who are really diligent. I visit, like I said, many classrooms. Only saw one teacher that was sitting. I saw kids, students who are having debates. I saw oral presentations. I saw group work. I saw teachers working with them. I was most impressed with everything I saw at these schools. I can honestly say that Roland has two outstanding schools, and may be able to say that we have two of the best schools in the San Gabriel Valley. I wouldn't be afraid to send any of my kids to either school. In regards to facilities, they're outstanding. As a matter of fact, I would think that in regards to facilities, I would challenge you to go to either or, and maybe a 10% difference. At the same time, in terms of the classroom and the work in the classroom, I give you an invitation. You, I, and whoever in your community or in your school, whatever, we'll go through these classrooms, and I will bet you lunch that you'll see less than a 5% difference at either school. There are outstanding schools, outstanding teachers. There's a teacher at Nogales that's retiring this year, and he's teaching as though he was on probation. Very, very impressive. I visit classrooms that were the classes that were recovery classes, and I'm very much against recovery classes. I feel that if you didn't do the work, you need held accountable. I walked in one of the classrooms, and I was like, is this a regular class? They said, no, it's recovery. I couldn't believe it. They are doing a great job at both schools. The administrations are very, very strong, so you should be very proud of your administrators there. The rigorous curriculum is there. The kids are phenomenal. There's nothing more to say other than the schools are being run well, the kids are being educated, and we should take a hats off to the administrators who are there. I'd like to also say in regards to Danny, maintenance, hats off in regards to Danny, in relationship to Oswald Academy. They're finally starting to clean up the area around the academy, which makes me feel real good. And Mrs. Ward, I love the brochure. It shows true multiculturalism.
Damn. Kind of. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Harrison.
I wasn't finished, but don't forget, take your lunch.
It's time.
We get together and we work.
Mr. Harrison, thank you for your good words. Thank you. Okay, next is Lucy. Jen? Yeah, come on. Come on.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Hello, everyone. Good evening. I'm so honored and happy to be here tonight. I'm very expressed and also very excited. For our Chinese people and for the kids, and China, between China and USA, both of these countries is almost the most bigger country in the world. So that means most people speaking English and Chinese. So I'm very want to support here to advise, to suggest we have to open, should open, and it's necessary to open the Chinese class for the people, for the kids were born here. They only know some Chinese kids. They only know how to speak English, but they didn't know how to speak Chinese. I really expressed by myself. My husband is a youth American man, so he wants to study Chinese to improve the economy, improve his business between China and the USA. But I have to do my best to be a good translator for him. So right now he is going to, he is studying in the mountain to study Chinese. So he is adult. I think for the little kids, for the young kids, that's very necessary to open the Chinese class in our school. My daughter actually studied in the Luolang Heights High School. So, but her Chinese is very good. So I hope everybody we were here, not only Chinese people, not only American people, not only other countries' people, that's very necessary to open the bilingual education for kids, for make great for USA, and then the world, yeah, stronger and stronger, make this country stronger and stronger. Yeah, because we give the people, we support the kids to improve them step by step from their young age. Not from mine, no, I'm so old, I have to speak Chinese, have to speak English, have to speak Spanish. That's very difficult. But if
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Good job. Next is Ken Mann. Mr. Mann.
Good evening, everybody. And the Superintendent Michelle, and President Chen, and the board members. I'm Ken Meng, represent IMRA 1441, Manufacturer Home Residents Association. I'm here to support the Chinese Do Immersion Program. I think today is a very important day. This program, we start in Roland Heights. I think you guys are making history. This is a milestone. I'm thinking about this world. Right now, the age, you know, the information is very important and make the world become smaller and smaller, like a village. You know, what happens if the world is a village and people need communication? And like President Chen, he can see there as a president. And I standing here and live in mobile home. That's why, you know, I didn't speak English well. I should study English, but I was lazy. You know, the important thing is the language skill. So if kids, when they're small, start to learn different languages, it seems like open a big door for them to the East world. When they have chance to be there, they can speak their language, they understand their culture. This help them to build a relationship. And East and West, if this relationship is good, it's helping to build the peace of the world. So I strongly support. Thank you very much. Hopefully this program will start in the fall. And I hope the program will be bigger and bigger. More kids to be involved. Thank you so much.
Next, Jin Chen.
Hi, good evening. But I only little English. Can I speak Chinese? Yeah.
Yes, please. Yes, I can translate. If you, yeah, go ahead, please.
大家好，晚上好。
Good evening, everyone.
我的孩子也就读于罗兰海的高中。
Attending Roland High School.
因为他来美国时间不是很长。
Come to United States, not very long.
讲母语会更多一点，讲中文多一点。
Chinese more than English.
在英文学习的过程中呢
，in the process of learning English，
在学校里的孩子的教学
，in the education，
英文
，have to speak English at school。
所以孩子的英文进步有点慢。
So his English is slow。
但是如果学校里面有中英文的一个教学的话，可以促进孩子的自信心。
If there's a program opportunity there to learn English and Chinese，
上又会有很大的
进步。We can help to improve the academic。
而且中国和美国两个都
Chinese and America
比较。友好的国家，所以呢，对鼓励大家学习英文可能有很好的一个帮助。
If you learn English, you will improve the relations.
谢谢。
Thank you. 你说，首先李，All right.
Good evening. My name is Xuesheng Li, and English is just a little. I need a translate too.
Hi,
晚上好。
Good evening.
罗兰学区委员会的各位委员们，我是
Good evening, everyone.
我是李学生。
I'm Li Ration.
我居住在罗兰海。
I live in Roland Heights.
感谢学区可以开设中英双语教学。
I heard this district is to start do immersion Chinese program.
之前吧，我没有收到学区发的调查问卷表。
Before I have received, I have not. You 收到还是没有收到？
但是我很支持这一个决定。
收到还是没有收到？
没有收到。
I have not received the survey form.
Yeah. 所以今天我过来表达一下我的希望。
That's why today I come here to express my will.
本来我已经计划今年夏天送我的。孩子去核桃学区
summer, send my kids to Walnut.
学习中文
learn Chinese and English.
如果说我们学员学区有了之后
we provide the program,
我将会把我的孩子们送到我们罗兰学区来学习
we will stay in Roland.
还有我的邻居给我
and my neighbors,
同样的
these are neighbors.
谢谢
they are the same. Thank you.
走
Right. Oh, Jen B. Ru.
Please translator.
Any translator? Okay, I do it.
大家晚上好，我叫耿碧如，我住在罗兰汉。
I live in Roland Heights.
对，我的儿子今年16岁了，在已经在罗兰 High School 上了一年了。
Is attending Roland High School for 1 year.
我是一名。不会讲英文的新的一个家长，但是呢，我是罗兰 High School 的一个义工，
I don't
等于说我
心
心自立于
孩子的教育。But I'm the volunteer High School.
从此以后
From now on,
每一次就是孩子的家长会和这个学区的会议
meeting,
我都会亲力的尽情的参加的，所以感谢今天到场的各位的家长和学校学区的各位老师和各位参会人员，大家就是今天的这个会议我是非常的支持，这样的双语教育对孩子和小学中学高中的孩子包括每一位就是中国和未来进入美国学习的孩子和的家长都是一个极其有力的有用的比较有用的提议，新的孩子新的学生进入一个新的学校从另一个国家来到这个国家，我经历了这一年就是至少六个月我儿子心里的恐慌，因为他是从一个母语突然到一个英语的环境，他的全部的那个内在和外在都已经尽快崩溃了，就是因为他突然进入了一个陌生的英语的环境，因此呢我非常的支持就是双英文双语的教育，而且呢未来这个小学英文和高中的这个双语教育特别的重要，包括就是我们每一个区的这个孩子的流失和更多的来到这个学区受教育都是有一定的发展趋势的，再次感谢各位。
Thank you so much again. Thank you. Thank you for the speakers. And next, a discussion item. The first one is 2016-17 Annual Financial Audit Report. Can I have a motion and a second for the SEP 2016 and 2017 Annual Financial Report as submitted by NIGRO and the NIGRO PC?
I'll move.
Donna Freeman, move.
I'll second.
Epicum, second. Discussion? I'm going to turn it to Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you. So to start the discussion, we have Jeff Nigro that is here, who is our auditor, to share with the board about the audit report. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me here tonight to present the audit. And I just want to take a couple minutes just to talk about the process before I get into the report, and then I'll just talk about the key highlights of the report. So, sure. So the audit process is a year-long thing. I know a lot of people think of the audit as just something that happens a couple times a year when we're out here in the district, but actually it begins. We're actually planning our 2017-18 audits now, and it's January. So we begin the planning early on in the process in the office. Discussions among our audit team. We discuss audit risks, areas we're going to look at, and changes we're going to make differently. And then we actually come out to the school sites before we even come to the district, and we go to the schools and we look at attendance accounting procedures. We look at ASB accounting procedures. Then we come out to the district and we look at the processes at the district before the books are even closed. Come out here and we look at checks and balances and things like that. We look at some compliance issues. And then we come back in the fall after the books are closed, after you've adopted your unaudited actuals, and actually look at the numbers. That's the part we really like doing, you know, actually tying out numbers. And then we come back with the report at the end, and that's what you have here in front of you. So, you know, it's a investment of over several hundred hours, into the audit. Year long, but we arrive here at this point, and now that the report's final, what does it mean? So the word audit often conjures up negative images in people's heads. They picture people kicking in doors and carrying away people in handcuffs and carrying out boxes of shredded documents, but there are audits like that. But I assure you, it's not what we do is not that glamorous. It's the purpose of this audit is to give an independent opinion of your financial statements and whether they're in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles. And so, in our audit report, we're giving a clean opinion, a unmodified opinion on the financial statements. They are prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So, in other words, the numbers that you adopted in September, the unaudited actuals, are reliable numbers. So the audit report goes on to present those numbers in GAAP format. So that's what you have in front of you. I'm not going to go through all the different sections of the report. It's not really new from last year. Nothing's really changed significantly in terms of how the numbers are presented. So I won't bore you with all that detail. And we'll jump right to the most exciting thing, the thing most people are interested in, is the findings. So if we go to the back, I'm very pleased to report to you tonight that we got rid of most of the findings here. There's one finding related to state compliance, and it's one that has no financial implication whatsoever. But following the findings, you'll see that there were 8 findings in the prior year. And so the district went from 8 findings down to just 1. I think that's a pretty significant achievement. Finally, the last couple pages are identifying some issues, some ASB issues that were discussed with management after our site visits, when we went out to the schools and looked at ASBs. These are matters that we believe were not significant enough to merit being reported as audit findings, yet we did report them to management, and so we are reporting them in the audit as well, so you can be aware of those matters that were discussed back in the spring. So We're going to be going out shortly to look at these areas again for 17-18. So we'll be revisiting these schools. We'll be revisiting these issues to see what improvements have been made. But that's really it. A clean report, almost a spotless audit. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
I have a comment. A report the scope of this report and the depth of the report and number of hours, like you mentioned, I really want to thank Alex and his staff, because there's no way one person could obtain compliance like this. It takes a whole department.
Yes, and I would echo that, and it's not just the accounting department either. We spend time in human resources and even in ed services, so everybody gets to experience the audit.
But one other item that you just happened to mention, the ASB, we recently, a couple of months ago, had a request for a booster club. And I think it's wonderful that people want to volunteer, but like you point out in here, there's certain rules and regulations they have to follow. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if maybe we need to do an in-service for our volunteers, mm-hmm. that run these booster clubs, ASB activities, school clubs, so we can get them all online at the same time to make sure that they're aware of what is required and expected of them.
Right. Well, that would be a management decision, and we have done those types of trainings for districts in the past for their outside organizations.
And Mr. Mackin, that is something that we do, and it's led through our fiscal office. Mm-hmm. And we have brought people in to come and support to provide information, particularly to our booster groups.
Yeah, I would support that even for our clubs.
The kids
that we have.
Can I add that as a former booster myself for many, many years in this district, that not only were we required to attend that training, it was mandatory that we attend and have a certification stating that at least three members of our board attended that training, and we had to do it every year, no matter what. So we do have the checks and balances for that.
Okay. Lynn, you want to say something?
Yeah, I have some questions. I met with you, Mr. Nigro, last year, I think, after the audit, because I was board president, and I discussed some things with you. But I just wanted to certify with you that you did not have any problems with staff or the administrative group. Did you get the information you needed without any problems or hassle?
That is correct. In fact, the district is very cooperative. The audit was much smoother this year. It helped having a director of fiscal services for the entire fiscal year. That was huge. But now we've never encountered any lack of cooperation from the district. Everything that we've requested was made available to us.
Were there any red flags that you saw other than what you mentioned in the report?
No. If there were, they would be in the report.
I, too, want to say that I'm very pleased, because I know last year we did have one, as you mentioned, one ding, and that's been last year we had several dings, which have now been corrected, and this year we're down to just one. And as Mr. Malkin, I think, said, we owe that to a staff that has really worked hard in all different areas, Mr. Flores, Aubrey, everybody that had to do with the books and getting the information for you, I think, really went above and beyond. And on behalf of the board, I want to thank that group in particular for the work they did. I think it's a fabulous thing that we just have one item on our audit, and that item, just for those of you in the audience, it was an item that actually we had all the equipment we needed for all our students. We had a meeting with the public that was a week late. So it wasn't like, you know, it was money or anything like that. So I'm very pleased with the report, and hopefully next year we'll have no dings.
Mm-hmm. Well, it won't be for lack of looking on our part.
I agree.
Mr. Freeman?
Just a comment also. I was just going to say the same thing. The one finding has no monetary information that you found that was wrong. And I also want to duplicate what everybody else has said. Thank you, Alex, Aubrey. And now, Dennis, I feel you're part of that, too, because he said human resources. So the whole department, thank you so much for doing a great job. This is outstanding. That's all.
Any more questions?
Can I make a quick comment, though?
Yeah,
I want to thank Mr. Nigro and his team for working with our staff. And we always look at this audit as an opportunity for growth and to look and to review. And we really take seriously, and we've already had some meetings to discuss the back pages of recommendations with ASBs. And we are planning to have future trainings with our students and our activities directors and our principals at the secondary level. And we're hopefully going to be working with Mr. Nigro and his team and actually presenting and having workshops with them so that we can correct those issues that we see that were there at in the back pages. It's an opportunity of growth for us, and we look forward to it.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay. Thank you, Nigro. Thank you. And
thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. So next item, 6B, is Mandarin Dual Immersion Program updates. Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. As you know, we have some members of our community in our audience this evening that are interested to hear the progress the district has made in terms of a Mandarin dual immersion program. Sylvia Rivas, our director of special projects, has been leading this initiative and this request by the board for us to explore this opportunity. And she's here tonight to give the board an update. And then this is not an action item, but we are asking the board to give us some direction. And at the end of the presentation, there are suggested three options. We could come up with numerous number of options, but we have prepared three, but we are also able to have an open discussion if that we would like to modify any of those.
Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, staff, and community members, and I am very excited to see so many new faces here today representing our community, and I look forward to working with you in the future. I wanted just to give you a brief overview of what's happened for the past year and a half, but really focus on the results of the survey. So as you know, about a year and a half ago, the board directed us to go into a research mode for the possibility of a Mandarin dual immersion program in our district. And we had, this is our second update. We had our first update on May 31st. So I just wanted to give you like a brief overview. I know we've talked about all the research and, you know, all the positive things that come out of that. But as you recall, one of the main things is high academic achievement in both languages, also problem-solving skills, and also preparing our students for success in college and career. So there are many, many benefits. These are just a few. So in the last year and a half, this is some of the work that we have done. So for instance, our first thing that we did was establish a district Mandarin dual committee, which involved district administration, school site principals, teachers, parents, instructional aides, and other members. And we met last year about once a month and continued this year with every 2 months. So if we look at our timeline, we also, during that time, we researched dual immersion programs. We visited some school sites. We went to, you know, other counties and looked at what were some of the challenges, what were some of the positive, and how would we be able to do a good job. Because one of the main components of it, and then our research shows, is that we need to do our research, we need to be prepared, and really do all our homework so that we could establish one. Then we continued, of course, throughout the year to look at other schools. We attended several conferences, and then we advertised for a Mandarin dual immersion teacher. This school year, we have continued with our Mandarin dual committee meeting, and I've been very excited to see that I still get participation from last year's committee, and we will continue to meet this school year depending on your direction at the end of this meeting. But in the end, what we did is we actually had a survey with parents, and the survey that we provided to parents was actually given to our committee. It was shared with our community, and we got the feedback. So if you could see, we sent out about over 4,000 invitations to participate in the survey. And we received about a 409 back. This is just the overview. I will go into detail, but basically we had 95% of the people that participated were our parents. We were very excited about that. And we asked several questions. One of the main questions that we ask is whether they preferred a two-way or a one-way program. And most of our parents preferred a two-way. We also asked in terms of would they prefer to have traditional Chinese or simplified Chinese. So we got, not overwhelmingly, but the majority would simplified Chinese. And lastly, I wanted to let you know, in our survey, we divided our questions in terms of what was strong interest, what was moderate interest, no interest, and little interest to really give us gauge that for us. So these are the details of who participated. So if you see, it's broken down in cities. So we even had, some participants from other cities. These were the number of parents that participated in each of our schools. And again, as I mentioned before, most of them were parent or guardian, although we did have some community members. Another main question that we ask is, what is the primary language spoken in your home? And our interest in this was that when we do have a Mandarin dual program or any dual program, we want to have some native speakers of Chinese, and we also want to have some English speakers. So the primary language was mainly English and, of course, Mandarin, and then we had also some interest from our Spanish-speaking parents. We asked another main question was, would they be interested in participating in the program? And overwhelmingly, we had 61% that were interested. So then after we took that 61%, we asked more questions about it to give us all the information that we needed. And our next question was, what if they prefer two-way or one-way? And like I mentioned, it was a two-way. Then another question was the question about simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese. Overwhelmingly, we had simplified Chinese, and I wanted to share just a few of the comments that the parents had. So mainly most parents were commenting on the fact that they wanted to have that support at home, especially our English speakers, that would enroll the students in this program. They felt that it would be easier for their kids to learn in simplified Chinese. Another comment that we had is that they felt that in the business community and most people, that's what they use in simplified Chinese. Although we realize that this may be a divisive issue between our community. Some prefer traditional and some prefer Chinese. And we have thoroughly gone over pros and cons. So what we, at this point, what we're doing is leaving it up to further discussion in terms of what we're going to do with traditional or simplified. And we have specific comments for both. Another question we wanted to know, what was the main focus that the parents wanted of our program in terms of their children learning another language? And, of course, all of them wanted them to learn, read, and write Chinese, but also it would create opportunities for their students in the future. This is where we talk about the strong interest, which is the darker green, moderate interest, little interest, and no interest. So again, thinking of the 61% of the parents that said they wanted to be in a dual program, we asked them how interested would they be in the Mandarin Dual Program if it was at their school? And we had 47%. Then how, we asked them also how interested they would be if they were not at their school. So that led us for 21%. So again, of the 61%, we're down to a 21% that are, have a strong interest, and they'll go to any school for the program. Then we ask the next question, which is the transportation, how interested they would be providing transportation, and then how interested they would be if they, we provide it or not provide it and pay. So 22% were interested in if we provided the transportation, and they and we would be providing it for a fee. So from that group of parents, because remember we send it to all our schools, so it was just not kindergarten student, I mean kindergarten parents or pre-K parents, we send it to basically a list that we have of all our pre-kinders and also some parents that participate in the programs, options programs, parents that participate in race, and then all our schools, our K-8 schools. So from those, we went ahead and looked at how many are in pre-kinder and kinder that would be willing to participate in the program. So we had 7 that had a very strong interest in it. We had another 7 that had moderate to strong, and then we had 15 with moderate to little interest. So we had about, in total, 14 parents that are willing to, you know, go to another school, pay for transportation, and do that from our survey. So the next step we did, we have some recommendations for you, and we hope that we get further direction. We're excited to do whatever direction and you tell us to do, but we have some recommendations that we've worked on, and of course we've shared this most of these recommendations with our committee. And one of them is to of course have the two-way, which is what the parents want it. And in the two-way, we try to recruit half English speakers and about half Spanish speakers, I mean Spanish speakers, Mandarin-speaking students. But in terms of that percentage, it could vary. That's ideal, you know, and that may not happen. And then, of course, we want the 50-50 English-Mandarin instructional model. And our whole school would be Shaolin Elementary. And one thing that I mentioned before that we would discuss further would be the traditional versus the simplified Chinese. This is just an example of what it would look like if we would have a 50-50 program starting in kinder through first grade. For now, we're looking at this just an example. And as you could see, our Mandarin instruction would be 50% of the time with listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And then, of course, they would have math reinforcement and social studies and science. And then our English instruction would be, again, the 50% with math, content areas, music, and PE. The next thing we looked at is a projected budget and cost. So we wanted to give you a clear picture of what it would entail to start this program. And also, we wanted to make sure that we wanted to be committed to the program and show you long-term what the cost would be. So if you look at our slide, pretty much the teachers is the biggest cost in materials. At this point in our district, we don't have any Mandarin materials, so we would have to make sure that we purchase our Mandarin materials for our core text. In addition, because it's a primary classroom, we would need to have a lot of Chinese print books because we need print. So we would have to supply our school libraries with these books, and we would also have to have classroom libraries for our teachers to instruct in Mandarin. Then our first year, we also, of course, need a lot of training. Currently, our Spanish dual teachers, they receive the regular training that the district provides, but we also provide additional training in Spanish. So we've included this cost because if we provide a Mandarin dual program, that's very important, and we also want to provide training for them. Also, in terms of planning, with planning, it's an additional cost because the teachers need to make sure that they're planning instruction because not all materials are available in Mandarin, so we want to make sure that we provide that core program and rigorous program to our Mandarin-speaking children and our English-speaking children. Then, again, we have assessments that we would provide. We have English-only assessments. We have Spanish assessment, but we don't have Spanish-Mandarin. And then instructional support. One of the things that the parents clearly said in the survey, they wanted that support in terms of community liaison, in terms of tutoring, in terms of any type of support to make sure that the students are getting the most from the program. And lastly, it's media and promotional materials. Any program that we have, we want to make sure that we promote it in our community, that we put it out there in the media so that we can make sure we have enough participants for future years. And then the next column, you see year two, kinder and first. It's an additional cost. It moves up to about $400,000. Then we go into full implementation. We go from year one in kinder to year seven, sixth grade, which is about over $1 million. And then if we look from the 8 year and beyond, it continues to be over $1 million. And that's where we would look at possibly continuing and secondary and having a full K-12 Mandarin program. So I wanted to provide some of the challenges, and this is based on challenges that we've had, but also based on challenges that we've researched through talking to principals, directors from other districts, and coordinators from other counties. So our first challenge is staffing in terms of Mandarin dual teachers. There's a very limited number of Mandarin dual teachers available out there that are fully credentialed and that speak, you know, English and Mandarin proficiently. So we want to make sure we have the best staff for this program. And aside from being very limited, it's very competitive. As I spoke to some universities, most of them said to me that the teachers have a job before they even graduate from the university because they're so highly desirable. And as I've mentioned to Dr. Mitchell, I have several of my colleagues also looking for Mandarin dual teachers because they want to start programs in their districts too. The second challenge that we have is that we have a high student attrition rate in the upper grades. So programs start really strong in primary, but as they go into the upper grades, there's usually about a 50% attrition rate. And that's based on the fact that parents sometimes pull them out of the program because they want them to go to all English program, or it's due to the fact that they may, want to pursue to continue in another school, or it's for many other reasons. But that's throughout our research, that's what we found, and that's a challenge because, for instance, we want to have at least a critical mass of 50 possible students. So if we would have that attrition rate, we would end up with maybe 25 starting in upper grade. So that's a challenge. Then another challenge is the Mandarin language support. Our English speakers that are very interested in the program want to make sure that that's available because they don't want to see their students struggle. They want to make sure that they get that support. And again, it goes to availability of staff and having that support that we could provide for our parents. Then another is our current interest. Our current interest right now in our Mandarin program, it lacks fluent Mandarin-speaking students. So we really would want to have a lot more students that speak Mandarin fluently. And, of course, when we would have this program, we would have to continually on a monthly basis recruit students, recruit staff to make sure that we have a strong program and we have a list for the following school year. So now we go into the recommendations. And as Dr. Mitchell mentioned, there's three. I don't know if you want to say anything. Okay, so there's three options that we provided for you. So the first option is to starting tomorrow, recruit and enroll students for program launch in the 18-19 school year. Because we know that we don't have that critical mass right now, we would want to recruit more. And of course, advertise, recruit students, you know, just be out there in the community trying to get our critical mass. And then March 6th, it's the closing date for our registration. So at March 6th, we would see if we've had 50 or more students that are interested and also registered for the program. That's one option. And this option could move into our second option if the first option does not work or we don't get that critical mass. Our second option is to postpone the program implementation until the 19-20 school year. And then we would obviously provide extensive advertisement, parent and community meetings, and recruitment. And we would let the parents know, you know, the site of school. We would let parents know this is what we're planning to do so they have a year to plan for moving to another school if they need to. And we have a third option, which is just delay the program until further direction or information is available. So now it's our time for questions and discussion.
Any questions? Yeah, go. Donna?
Thank you for a great presentation. First, thank you, community members, for coming out, the five of you talking about in favor of dual immersion for Mandarin. I just had a few questions. Let's see. Why is Shellen going to be the homeschool? Because from the surveys, it looked like, does Killian have any room? Because there's 53 surveys that came back.
Yeah, from Shellen would be the homeschool because that's the school that we have the room for. We have a lot of room for Shellen. And also, it's a centrally located school where many of our parents that are interested would be able to go to that school.
To further answer that question, as we evaluated location, and we've been doing this for about 8 months or so, we did visit school sites. We looked at the traffic because these parents would be commuting in. And as you know, Killian is very impacted with traffic. So adding an additional program was problematic. What is the capacity in terms of classroom space? Because as you notice in the budget, there isn't anything additional for facilities. So we needed to find a location that had existing facilities so we were not having to bring in additional classrooms. And then looking at where was an easy access school in terms of being able to travel to and from, WIT had space. And then we also met with school staff. And we went and met with teachers and met with the staff to make sure that they were welcoming and receptive to a new program being on their campus. Because we know that that's essential in the success of a program, is that we have the ability to welcome a new program with open arms. And Shellen met all of the criteria. It was the only school in the district that met every piece of criteria.
Thank you. And then for option one, it sounds good. I wanted to ask you about the 50 students, and then you said something like 25 right after you mentioned 50 students. I wasn't sure what you meant.
Okay, so what I mean by that is that we want to, the reason we're going as high as 50 is because we know there's a low attrition. I mean, there's a high student attrition rate, and usually it's about 50%. So planning for that high attrition rate, what we foresee is that if we do have the high attrition rate, then we would go into one classroom in the fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
So the last question, if we have 50 students register and they all show up, will we be having two teachers or what will happen in that case?
Right now at this point, we could either have one teacher or two teachers. If we have one teacher, we could have that teacher be the Mandarin dual teacher and she would be providing the Mandarin instruction, and then the English teacher would be providing the English instruction.
So 25 and 25.
Yeah. So we do have that option of just hiring one teacher if we need to this year. Of course, it would be wonderful if we could get more teachers, but that's a possibility.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Malkin?
I was impressed with the turnout and the people from the community that spoke. And they always say that, you know, if one person takes time out to come to speak, they're representing five other people. So what we saw tonight represented a lot much larger group from the community. I was impressed with the one gentleman that spoke, and he had his neighbor there, and he had four or five children with him. And he said something that I thought was very important, that if he doesn't have a dual immersion program in our school district, he can go to another school district. Mm-hmm. And what I don't see in your budget is what we would lose in funding if these parents did take their children to a neighboring school district. By maintaining them in our district, they are generating some funds that would be matching the funds that we need for the program. We've been looking at this for a long time, and our neighboring school districts have stepped up to the plate and are offering this opportunity for their families. And I attended a presentation a couple of years ago in the Pomona School District, where they were just starting their program at the time, and they had at least, I would say, 30 people, 40 people that showed up, that were showed an interest in it, mm-hmm. where they were traveling, some of them as far as Irvine, to attend mm-hmm. a Pomona school. So the interest is out there, whether it's in our district or our neighboring districts or even farther away. People will travel to come to it. Mm-hmm. We just need to identify them and find them and make them aware that we'll be offering this. With the turnout tonight and what I'm hearing, option one to me is the only option. I realize that staffing, you can't open a program if you don't have staffing. But maybe if we reach out to some of these people that showed up today, they can help us identify staff that might be qualified, or they will give us resources on who to contact. I know Mr. Chen has gone back to China many a times. Some of those, I don't know what it would take for them to get them qualified to come out here. I don't know how fast that can be done and what's possible, but I think we got to be more creative on how we're going to staff this, and maybe even up the salary, you know, in order to do it. But I think I don't think there is an option two or three.
Mm-hmm. I'll let Dr. Mitchell answer the funding question after, but I want to answer the question in terms of recruiting teachers outside of the U.S. We have researched that, so we are aware of some of the things that we need to do if we do that.
On the funding piece, Mr. Malkin, you're accurate. There were 17 students in kindergarten in the 17-18 school year who requested to attend a school outside of the Roland Unified School District for a Mandarin dual immersion program, and they were looking to enroll in four different districts, ranging from Orange County to Pomona. And so we would not recapture those 17 because they are already into a program, right. But we would then not potentially lose 17 for the coming school year, which could then potentially be included in our numbers as well. The looking at the allocation for attendance and so forth, that has been taken into consideration. That's how we have budgeted based on 50 students, because 50 students would need two teachers, and you notice there's only one teacher that was in that budget. And so that was done intentionally. And then if that number doubled, it would be 100 students, and we had only put in for three teachers. So that allocation has been included in our budget. And then looking at the idea, and as Sylvia has said, we have looked extensively at the recruitment and bringing teachers from abroad or recruiting from the United States. And it's been very clear direction from our board and our previous presentation that there was not an interest in looking at teachers from abroad, that the board has given direction to staff that to recruit teachers who are credentialed and are coming from the United States. So if there's a different direction from the board, then that would be of interest for us to know as well.
I notice in the data we don't have anything that states what the grade levels were of the students, so we don't know that yet, right? Okay.
No,
we do have that.
Did I miss it?
No,
we don't have it in the PowerPoint because there was a lot of data, but we can provide that for you.
Because I was wondering, to start off small isn't always a bad thing, because mm-hmm. then we can learn as we go and improve and mm-hmm. enhance and grow.
Yes.
The other thing is combo class. Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility in a dual immersion program?
Well, that was one of the challenges, because the combo classes is really not a possibility in the dual immersion program, because they would be actually instructing already in two languages. And depending on the teacher and depending on the program that we have, it puts an additional burden on that teacher. Usually, I would say as a dual teacher, you spend a lot of hours just planning over and above a regular teacher. So this would add to that. And currently, right now, we don't have combos in our Spanish dual for that reason. It adds a burden to a teacher in terms of just not only two grades, but two languages and planning with another teacher.
Ms. Pride, the only part of the data that would show the younger students were the slide where there were seven
yes.
Survey respondents that had expressed interest in the program that were at the pre-K or K level, seven that had moderate interest. Mm-hmm. So we did disaggregate the data. We did ask for the age of the children because mm-hmm. We did have high school responding and so forth. But of our youngest learners that are entering kindergarten or pre-K age for the upcoming school year, that just from the 409 survey results were there. But we recognize that there were a lot of surveys that our community did not either submit or didn't receive. So it was a sampling.
Yeah, but we do also have additional data if that's of interest.
Mm-hmm. Lynn?
I have quite a few questions. I noticed on one of the graphs or charts you had where they come from. You had Roland Heights,
yes.
Walnut, West Covina. You know, a lot of people who actually live in Roland Heights think they live in Walnut. It's a Walnut mailing address, but it's actually Roland Heights community. So that would be an important thing to know, whether
okay.
they truly live in Roland Heights or not. Can you tell me what two-way versus one-way means?
So with the one-way program, it's mainly native speakers of the language, and then the goal is for them to learn English. And of course, we want all kids to learn English, but that's the main goal. With the two-way program, the goal is for the English speakers to learn Mandarin and the Mandarin speakers to learn English so that they become bilingual and biliterate. And that's where we see a need of having those native fluent speakers and Mandarin.
I know in our Spanish dual immersion program, I spoke to some parents at an open house night, and they were all English-speaking children who wanted to be in the dual immersion Spanish program because they wanted their kids to learn Spanish, and they loved it. So
yeah, we do know, have some, the majority are Spanish native speakers or either Spanish fluent speakers. But we did, in fact, have interest in Spanish, too. Even in the survey, there were some parents that requested that.
Now, what is simplified Chinese?
So simplified Chinese. So there's traditional Chinese, which is some that is based on characters. And the difficulty is that the children need to learn all the strokes specifically. And then simplified Chinese, it's a simplified version of it. So they don't have to, they learn all the characters, but they don't have to learn specifically all the strokes. So if you notice in the Chinese language, it's very intensive in terms of writing. So it becomes a little bit more difficult because they don't have an alphabet language the way it would be with Spanish. English dual would be it's a lot more easier than when you were doing Mandarin. But there's parents that have either, you know, majority of the survey was simplified, but in our comments that we saw, you know, we had pros and cons, pros for simplified, cons for simplified, and the same for traditional.
And the little ones could start learning to do the figures? Because I thought it was reported back to us in the past that the little ones, they have to go through a whole bunch of things, and they really can't start writing till about second, third grade.
Well, one of the options is in terms of if we do go with simplified, some of the districts, what they've done is they began with teaching them traditional and then changed to simplified. So that's one option that we have.
Okay.
But again, different parents, different perspectives in terms of our community. You know, every parent has a different perspective on it. But if we wanted to include it, we can, and then move to simplified because that's a lot more easier than going from simplified to traditional.
Is this a Confucius program that you're looking at, or?
No, we are not looking at the Confucius program at all right now. All the core materials that we've researched are actually companies that are here in LA and are, for instance, our English or Mandarin Language Arts program that is here, and that's all called the Better Immersion Program. A lot of our nearby districts, they use that, and it's been revised. Actually, it was revised last year to be more rigorous, so it's really aligned to the Common Core. And then we've also have a math program that we've seen that's also. So in terms of the Confucius Institute, although we've had staff that visited China and we've had stuff like that going on in terms, and we have researched what it would take. But at this point, everything that we have planned is without the Confucius Institute. And I don't know if you want to add anything, Dr. Mitchell.
There was a big uproar in one of our communities right next to us a few years ago. So I'm glad to hear what you're saying. Let me look for my other questions. Maybe I wrote most of them on one page. That's good. On the page that's, I don't know if it's, it might be 8 or 9, where it says Mandarin, the year 1 and 2 are both side by side.
The budget.
Now, you mentioned tutoring. Would that be paid for by the parents?
No, we've included the tutoring here as part of something that we would provide, because in our survey, most of the comments were the interests of the parents that participated in the program are English speakers that are truly interested in it. They want to make sure that we have that support.
Since we don't offer tutoring for every single student, we want to make sure we don't get into trouble with that one.
So it's in the line item of instructional support, and so it's not necessarily individualized tutoring, but we do have after-school programs and classes, so it would be something along those lines that we would be able, like you would observe Cougar Den, and so something to that effect that could be done through our different resources to be able to provide those opportunities.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you very much. It was a good report. Thank you for letting us ask our questions, and I also think I like the number one option. If we could go next year with it, I would love it. If you can get a teacher,
we're working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Any more other questions? I have a comment.
Sure.
I'm looking at your challenges, and the number one is staffing, and you mentioned credentialed teachers. They got hired even before they graduated from school. I'm looking at the bright side. That means a lot high demand of this program.
Thanks.
And so, but looking at our survey, our demand is very low. I think that's something we need to consider, the return rate of the survey.
Mm-hmm.
We sent out 4,000, more than 4,000, and we have only 400 return.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't represent.
Actually,
yeah, that's thing. I don't think that represent the whole community very well. But that's still 400 still give us some idea what's going on. From looking at our neighbor school districts, almost all of our neighboring districts offer dual immersion program now. And we are just catch up the trend. And none of them fail. All of them are pretty successful. And they got a lot of kids from other district transferred to their district. That indicating the demand is very high. And I want to ask a question. What's our maximum capacity we can handle? And I'm afraid if we can let more kids come in, and how are we going to handle it? We're looking at the bright side. So
With our maximum capacity, it would be based, Dr. Mitchell said, would be based on staffing. Like I mentioned too, before, we would love to have two teachers to start the program. We need one.
So 50 is our maximum right now?
Yes.
Based on facilities as well. 50. Because when you start with 50 and you ratchet that up, the facilities that we have available, if we don't want to incur any additional facilities costs.
Good. Yeah, okay. That's a good a number, 50 for two classes, for 25 each, right?
Mm-hmm. So I did want to mention the surveys to start to see what our community wants. But with option one, we would actually get the opportunity to sign up other parents in the program.
Right. I think we won't know the response of the community until we actually put the registration out. Mm-hmm. Then we can see that's a true demand from the community. And the support from the students, I think that's we don't need to worry about that too. There are many students, the Chinese speaking families, they can support them at home, and for the tutoring program, we can support it. So, and also attracting the staff from I don't worry about that because I think our district is very attractive. We can attract the teachers from mm-hmm. other districts to they would like to work in our environment in our district. I'm very confident for that.
And we have been working on it. Actually, right. I spoke to teachers from other districts.
I'm not saying we want to steal the teachers from other districts, but I think our district is very attractive. I'm very confident with that. We already did. We don't try a lot of teachers from the other district. So right.
Could I just ask one more question, Sylvia? Do most districts carry the program through high school?
Most districts do, but there are some that do not. But for it to be a full, what we want to do is we want to obviously provide the best program for our students. So we want it for them to be fully bilingual, biliterate. We would want to carry it. And we already have the capability to carry out to high school because we already have at the high school Chinese AP classes. The issue would be just getting at the middle school, maybe like a science or social study Chinese. Because we also have at the middle school Chinese language teachers.
Mm-hmm. I can answer your question, Lynn. And because the program always starts from K or TK or first grade, and each year and move one grade level up. And our neighbor district, the longest history is Hacienda La Puente. They start about 7 years ago. So every year they move one level up. So now they have the first. Year in their junior high school in sixth grade in Cedar Lane, but they started Wedgeworth from kindergarten. So they will keep moving up to upper graders.
And then when you get to middle school and high school, you still have just one teacher who teaches the Chinese part of it, regardless of the class?
No, it changes a little bit. When you get to middle and high school, we have the language teacher, which we're lucky because we already have that. But then we also look at credentialing, so we would need a content area teacher that's credentialed. That's why I mentioned social studies or science, because we would provide all the classes in English, of course, like a regular student, but as an elective, they may have the Mandarin language, as a foreign language as part of it. But then they would have to have one content area, whether it's math, social study, or science and Mandarin. So we would have to recruit a credentialed teacher in that area that's bilingual.
Sorry to have so many questions. But let's say a student comes new into the country that's an eighth grader and we have progressed and we've got classes through ninth grade. Could that non-English speaking student start in eighth grade and be in an immersion program and be expected to catch up?
No, that's one of our challenges too, because when we looked at our survey, we looked specifically, even though we have a lot of parents that are interested, we looked specifically at who are pre-kinder and kindergarten parents that are interested, because it is not advisable for them to move into the program at a later, like an upper grade. They need to begin unless, they're fluent in both languages.
I have two questions.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to give flyers to all the elementary schools to see if how are you going to be able to have this by March 6th and advertise as far as how are you going to ask the parents, are you interested, and get them registered?
Well, first of all, after we give us direction, Dr. Mitchell has given us directions to start immediately tomorrow with the recruitment of parents, going to all parent meetings, going to community meetings, going to libraries, going to different areas to recruit. And we also will have a booth at our showcase in February.
And what about the parents that don't attend those meetings that may be interested? Like, our flyer is going to go home to the
yes,
with the students,
yes,
at all the elementary schools.
We're recruiting our
kindergarten population, so right. they're not in school yet.
Right.
And so Gina and I have met as well in terms of a press plan to be able to advertise should the board give direction for option number one. So we would be advertising through print media as well as on our website as well as word of mouth. I would rely on all of these wonderful people that are in the audience to help us with this as well, because getting directly to the families in the communities, that man that spoke that had all those little kids right here, yeah. that's who we're going to go to first. Yeah. And so we have a plan in terms of rolling it out, but that we have, including flyers, peach jar, the showcase, print media, newspaper ads, etc., to be able to spread the information. But anybody looking to register for school will see the information regarding registration on our website, and then that is an option to enroll in the dual immersion program.
So then I should say all the TK parents will be getting a letter. To yeah, see if they'd be involved, if they would like to sign up for kindergarten.
Yes.
And we do have several lists for TK parents. We have a list that we have originally through Mari's office that we've given to that. We also have our connections to the options program that we've given that. And then our third connection would be through the parent ed programs at RACE.
And the Chinese schools, yes. after school program. Mm-hmm.
Also the local churches, if they don't have a program at the church that we'd be competing with, there's a lot of dual language churches in the community.
Okay. It's terrific, but is it possible, like, by a month before February 7th, you could notify the board how many people have registered so far? Because it sounds so exciting. So that we'll
so a month before February 7th is the close of registration. So
March 7th.
So it doesn't open.
The last day, right?
Correct, but it doesn't open until February 5th.
Okay.
So you, so there, you is,
keep
there
us
is a month.
Posted, like, yeah. in a few weeks yeah. after, maybe. Yeah. Just
that'd be fine.
Very
no
exciting.
Problem.
Okay, thank yeah. you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we ready. So what's our recommendation? Option one?
So what I've heard in terms of what the board is sharing, I have not heard any opposition to option one. I've heard two board members provide direction to the district to proceed with option one. Is there any opposition to option one from the board? Any items of consideration that you'd like staff to make? So having no opposition, that it appears that the direction that the board is providing us is to proceed with option one. We will, in fact, Mrs. Friedman, keep you informed because this is not an action item, so it's not an official start of a program because we wouldn't officially begin a program until we had adequate enrollment. So at our meeting, we will keep you informed as to what the registration and enrollment appears to be, and I look forward to bringing a formal proposal to launch a program once we have the enrollment that we need.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item is 6C. Can I have motion and the second to approve the change employee mileage reimbursement from the current rate of 0.535 cents dollar per mile to the 2018 Internal Revenue Service rate of 0.545 dollars per mile. Angelina make a motion and
I'll
need a second.
Second.
Donna Freeman second. Discussion. No discussion. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carry. Good. Next item, 6D. Can I have motion and the second approved payment of stipend to board member Angelina Pry for December 2017 pursuant to the Education Code Section 351209C?
I move.
I'll second.
Excuse me. Donna second. Love to say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carry. Oh, opposed?
Or recuse.
Recuse. Oh, sorry.
Recuse.
Abstain.
Oh, abstain. Abstain. Abstain.
Yeah. Abstain.
Don't you know abstain? Of say aye?
No, we got it.
Oh, got it? Yep. Okay, four? Okay. Four aye and one abstain. Thank you. Motion carry. Okay, next item is 6E. Can I have a motion in the second to approve calendar 2018, 2019, and the 2019-2020 school year. In motion.
Second.
Donna Freeman moves, and Angelina Price second. discussion.
I just have a comment. Do you think, Dr. Mitchell, in the future when we have these calendars, you can put a key with them so we know what the darn colors mean?
Absolutely. That's an excellent suggestion, Mrs. Evan Camp. I'm so glad that you've brought that up. As you can tell, that's been a little bit of a discussion already. Thank you.
Donna?
I just want to say a lot of hard work on all parties, district and the the other classified and certificated. Everybody came up with it's very difficult, I'm sure, but everyone's happy, and I was really happy to vote yes that they're going to be approved. And thank you for all your hard work, everybody.
Okay. Any more comments? All of you say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carry. Next item, 6F. Can I motion it in a second? Receive the second reading and approval. Revised board policy 5131.2, voting. In the motion.
I move.
Lynn move. Second?
Second.
And Juliana Price second? Discussion. Yeah. Donna?
On the second page, first paragraph, I'd like to change rules to expectations. So it would be, to the extent possible, district and school strategies shall focus on prevention of bullying by establishing clear expectations for student conduct and strategies to establish a positive collaborative school climate instead of rules.
So we're looking at page 2, paragraph 1, second line, changing the word rules to expectation. That recommendation, is it acceptable for staff?
Any comment?
The ones I discussed with you, I don't have to go through all those, do I? Or
The commas, no, I've got those. but there was one of substance that you wanted to discuss. It was first paragraph, last word.
Right. There's a couple of them. One is the very first paragraph where it says, will not tolerate bullying of any student. But later on, they talk about student or school personnel. Mm-hmm. So would not tolerate any bullying of any type.
Mm-hmm. So that's page 1, paragraph 1, last word, changing from student to type. And that recommendation or request is acceptable to staff. It's legally fine.
What are you saying, student and staff?
No.
This type.
Strike the word student and include the word type.
Any type. I have a personal prejudice where it says we shall not tolerate. We have a zero tolerance for bullying, but I'll leave it up to
So Mr. Malkin and I have had this conversation. Zero tolerance was a word, a phrase that was very popular some years ago. Zero tolerance is now no longer fashionable within the language because we need other means of correction, et cetera. So that was a challenging one for us because there are other legal requirements of correcting student behavior. But under the intent that Mr. Malkin is suggesting, we are in agreement with the intent, and that is we don't tolerate bullying of any type. And so that really is the pleasure of the board. If you'd like to include the buzzwords or the phrase, not the buzzwords, the phrase of zero tolerance, that was my slip, I apologize, for the phrase of zero tolerance, or leave it as presented.
I would like to see it left as presented.
I'm fine with it. It's off of my chest now.
Okay.
All right. Any more changes?
No changes, but comments because this is so important. And I just wanted to let everybody know that where it says, based on an assessment of bullying incidents of school, the superintendent or designee may increase supervision and security in areas where bullying most often occurs, such as classroom, playgrounds. And I asked if somebody would come into the classroom if there was a problem. And I was told if that's needed because of bullying happening, that would happen, which is great. And it includes all grade levels. Even though it didn't state it, it's understood. And also I was thinking about we should add follow through, but that's I was told that it's in there already, the follow through, and who is responsible, it's listed also. This is really nice. This is so important. I'm really glad we're doing this. Okay, that's all.
I'll just add one other thing that we did discuss, where it says district schools, that I was concerned about bullying on buses and things like this, and that's all inclusive, which would include the school bus. So
do you need me to rescind my motion, and then we could pass it with the changes suggested, or what do you think?
Okay.
That would be fine.
I rescind my motion. And whoever seconded it.
It was Angelina that seconded.
I seconded.
Yeah.
You want to rescind your second?
I rescind my second.
Okay. Now new motion for the corrected item.
Okay, I need a motion.
I'll move.
I have a motion to second and to receive the second reading of approval of revised board policy 5131.2 with the changes.
That's good. Yeah. I move.
Lynn move.
Second.
Angelina second. Discussion?
No, we did that one. All in favor.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carry. Okay, next item 6G. Can a motion and a second to approve resolution AS 17-1806 approving the application for grant funding from Southern California AQMD bus replacement program PA 2018-02.
Second.
And Angelina, second. Discussion?
How outstanding this is. We're going to save all this money. This is terrific. Thank you very much.
In the report, there was several options that were mentioned. I would strongly recommend that we go with the air conditioning. Yeah.
Definitely. You too, yes. Air conditioning. Yeah.
One more. I think it's also important for the board to note that this is a submission of a competitive grant. Right. So this is not a guarantee of funding. And, yes, it is staff interest that these buses, if we are awarded the grant, that they would be air-conditioned.
I spoke to Mr. Flores about this. What happens to the buses? Do we have to trade them in when we get the new ones? He said you have to take the engine out.
Mm-hmm. Of the old one.
And maybe we could use these on various campuses for other classroom use without the engine. Fix them up, paint them. Just a thought.
4 inches?
Mm-hmm. Not the engine.
A little warm with no engine in the bus sitting on a campus on the blacktop. But I guess we can.
On the grass.
Yeah, to repurpose them. But yes, we do have to take them out of commission. So that's the engine part. Yeah.
Would we be able to? I noticed in the further on in the warrants, $17,000 for tires for school buses. Mm-hmm. Would we be able to take the tires back?
Yeah.
No comment.
Vote.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried.
Good. Thanks.
Right. Okay, 6H. And then motion and the second adopt resolution S017-1806 reclaiming February 2018 as Career and Technical Education Month. And in the motion?
I make a motion.
Angelina?
I'll second.
And Donald Freeman second. Discussion?
I have another question. Mm-hmm. In the resolution, it mentions reaching out to the community so they know about our CTE program and whatnot. Do we have anything planned?
So actually just today they launched their Facebook page for advertising our CTE program. And so, yes, we are working with our community partners so that we can more broadly advertise the work that we're doing around career technical education.
And maybe the showcase?
They will be present there as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Any more comments, questions? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. 6I. Need motion and the second. Adopt resolution as 017-1807, proclaiming February 2018 a Black History Month.
I make a motion.
Angelina?
I second.
Lynn second. Discussion? Comment?
I assume we'll have activities going on at the various schools for that. If we can just be made aware of any, you know, major ones that are going on, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
No, that one.
Any more questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carry. Okay, number 6J. Need a motion and then a second to adopt resolution SQ 17-1808, proclaiming February 5th to 9th, 2018 as a National School Counseling Week.
I move.
Second.
Lynn and Angelina Pryce, second. Discussion?
Great.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. I need a motion and the second to adopt resolution as 017-1809, proclaiming February 17, 2018, National Parent Teachers Association, PTA, Founders Day.
Motion. I make a motion.
Angelina, make a motion.
I'll second.
Donna Freeman, second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. The next item, 6L. This is to review the draft 2018-2019 Board of Education meeting schedule. Okay.
Yep.
No motion.
So this is not an action item. This is a discussion item. And so the board has been presented and has attached to the agenda draft board meeting dates for the 18-19 school year. And the board has presented some items of interest for discussion. You want to start?
I don't remember what they were. I know I turned them in.
So August 2nd was an item of interest. There's a potential conflict with August 2nd due to possibly having the Taste of the Heights that night. Although that date is not solidified, it is one of the dates that is being considered. And there is a board member that has a scheduled vacation that would make them unavailable for the date on August the 2nd. There was also a concern presented regarding the date of August 23rd. There is a conflict by a board member for being present on the date on August 23rd. Then there was a question that was presented for February 14th and was having a board meeting on Valentine's Day problematic. And so it was an item for discussion. And
I didn't know about our audience, our teachers and your staff.
Right. So we have briefly discussed it. We have had a meeting previously on, and we love each other. And so this is great. So then there was also an item of discussion. We are moving one of our Saturday workshops to a Friday for this year in February. And next year it is listed as the same on a weekday instead of a weekend. So there was a question whether the Saturday date in May of 2019, if we wanted to maintain that on a Saturday or if we wanted to move that to a weekday. And then there was also staff had brought just a comment that Tuesday, June 14th of 2019 was the requested date for the adult school graduation. And talking to Rocky, there are other dates that he can select to look at. When we look at the needs that we have for the LCAP and the adoption of the budget, the board has previously expressed an interest that it occur while school is still in session, so things are not happening all after school is out of session, and it needs to take place in the month of June. So we don't have a whole lot of choices.
What's the last day of school? Do you remember?
The 6th.
So the 14th, it would be?
The 4th. So it's 2 days prior, the 4th.
14th.
Okay. Oh. So when we look at August, the recommendation to potentially alleviate conflict in the month of August would be to hold a meeting on July 26th, which is a Thursday. It would be a regularly scheduled board meeting. It would mirror exactly what we did this year. And it would be brief because we need a meeting for personnel reasons for hiring staff. Our last meeting is on June 14th of 2018, so it would allow a break from June 14th, I think, is our last meeting this year, to then July 26th. So there would be our board break. And then have our August business meeting on Thursday, August 16th. So rather than the 2nd and the 23rd of August, to avoid conflicts, to do July 26th and August 16th. Any conflicts with those dates?
So July 26th for the board meeting and August 16th for the study session?
No, it would be a business meeting. Oh. There would not be a study session in the month of August.
Oh, okay.
This year, our August study session was around facilities, and so if need be, we would wrap that into the regular business meeting on August 16th.
And that's of 18.
That is of 18. Mm-hmm. 2018. And I can send all this out to you all again, of course. If we want to move to the discussion of Valentine's Day, does the board have a preference? We can look at a different date in the month of February if we wanted to not have our meeting on Valentine's Day.
I'm okay either way. I just threw it up there.
I'm okay with
it. I'm fine.
Me too.
Yeah.
We'll have our spouses come.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It saves staff money.
Yes, perfect. It's funny, I've gotten texts from their wives that it wasn't going over well. All right. Then Saturday the 18th of May. Would the board like to consider moving that to a weekday and not have it on a Saturday?
Yes.
I like the Friday.
Okay. So we will look at other dates. We should not have a conflict with room availability at this point because it's a year and more away. And so we will look at a weekday in the month of May for that board study session. And then I am not recommending the change away from June 4th at this time. It meets the needs of the district business.
I have a question about the two meetings in December. Is there a specific reason why there's two in December?
Yes, there is a specific reason for the two meetings in December. We must swear in new board members.
That's right.
And that is the first work day in the month of December. So it would be for the purpose of swearing in board members. It is an election year.
So why aren't we just having our board meeting that day as well, since our November board meeting is very early? It's November 8th.
Part of it, the reason from a staff perspective was that it would be a business meeting and more ceremonial of swearing in swearing in our board members. For the purpose of staff, we are needing to present our first interim, and we will perhaps not be prepared by December 3rd because of the data that we need to receive and having been gone for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that was our interest. We have to, we're looking at it being on a day other, obviously, than a Thursday, but having that as a short meeting.
When is CSBA next year?
It's November
28th through December 1st.
So that's
correct.
Why it'd be hard for staff to pull it all together.
If they're not sworn in yet.
They will attend. I can't swear any board members in until December. That legally. So they will attend as a guest.
Yeah.
I had a question also on the May 24th.
Yes.
That's 23rd is a Thursday. The 24th is a Friday. So I don't know. Is it the day wrong or the date wrong?
I don't know. Let's look. So
23rd.
May 23rd, 2019 is a Thursday. Yes. So what?
Mine says May 24th, 2019.
I'm looking at it online right now. It says May 23rd.
Thursday, May 23rd, 2019.
Right now.
And that's a Thursday, according to my
right here.
You're looking at the item that did have an error in it on the board agenda. Uh-huh. It is correct. Okay. So it's Thursday, May 23rd is accurate.
One more question for January for 2019. The study session that's scheduled for January 18th, is there a reason we're having a study session right immediately after the Christmas break?
No. So
I'm just thinking that's a lot.
With
just starting a new semester and everything, I just think that we should forego January. There's always a lot of things going on as students return to school and from the holiday and everybody getting back. I know for me it's a challenge at working in education.
This is May 23rd.
Mm-hmm. In January.
That study session is not a staff study session. That is a board workshop. And historically, this year is the only year we've deviated from January. We have had our board workshop in January on the Saturday of Martin Luther King weekend.
Gotcha.
So it's not a staff one.
It's not our presentation.
It's not our presentation. Okay. So this is a board workshop. And so we can, there is, we can move it.
No, I just was concerned about staff.
Staff, yeah. It can be moved if need be, but this was for the purpose of for a board workshop, particularly following election.
Right. Okay.
Any other comments about the calendar? All right, we will clean this up based on conversation and present it at our next board meeting for action.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, okay. So let's move to next item. 6M is to receive the first reading and the reviewer revise the board policy 5144 discipline. Dr. Mitchell.
So this is a policy. This is just a discussion item because it is first reading. And so as we have an opportunity, are there any suggested amendments to this in its draft form?
No comments? Any, Donna?
Just so important, but you clarified everything. So it's very good to have this.
And more comments?
Yeah. No, same thing. I gave my comments already.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. So we'll bring that back again for second reading at our next board meeting, second reading and adoption.
Okay. Then move to number 7 is agenda for pupil personnel. 7A, I need a motion and the second approve suspend stipulate expulsion of student 17-1804 effective January 19, 2018. Need a motion for that?
Make a motion.
Angelina, motion. And the second. Donna Freeman, second. Discussion and comments?
Discussion.
No discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Oh, yeah, there's one. Aye.
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 Motion carried. Next item, 7B. I need a motion and the second to approve the stipulated expulsion of student 17-1805 from all schools and the programs of Rowland Unified School District effective January 19, 2018.
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Donna, Mr. Second. All for say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Next item, 7C. I need a motion and a second. Approve the stipulated expulsion of student 17-1806 from all schools in the program of RUSD, effective January 19, 2018.
I'll move.
Donna,
second.
Move. Angelina Price, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Number 7D, and in the motion, and then the second, approve the expulsion of student 17-1807 from all schools in the program for USD, and effective January 19, 2018. Motion.
I'll move.
Donna, motion.
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Okay, next, the consent items. Consent item, we will approve all of the items in consent unless there are any items pulled for separate discussion and the action is no item pulled up. So I need a motion for the consent item.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried. All right. Okay, next item is conference session. We're now in conference session and board member comments. And start with Angelina. It's your turn.
Board comments?
Board comments.
Oh, okay. First of all, I'd like to apologize for missing the December meeting, and I thank you for your understanding. I hope that all of you had a wonderful and restful vacation. Usually my board comments are really short, sweet, to the point, but tonight I'd ask for a moment. And what I'm about to say may not be the most politically correct thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. So on Monday, we celebrated the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, a man who gave his life in the fight for equality for all. Yet here we are just a few days later listening to an individual make the same offensive and racially insensitive remarks just as they do month after month, and I'm sick of it. If you Google the definition of ghetto, it says a part of a city, especially a slum area, occupied by a minority group or groups. This is how this individual constantly refers to the north side of our district, the largest part of our district, a part of our district that is predominantly inhabited by minorities.
I am a resident of the north side of our district, a part of our district that an individual refers to as ghetto and states that the individuals residing on that side of the district have a ghetto mentality. I am proud to live on the north side of the district and represent all of the wonderful families that reside there as well. We take pride in our neighborhood, our schools, and in one another. And as a sidebar, I'm willing to bet that I have more pieces of paper hanging on my wall than the individual who makes these offensive comments. I understand that the political climate that we live in right now has empowered individuals to make comments that insult individuals and the places where they reside, but I can no longer stand for it. Roland Unified School District is an educational institution. We are here to teach our students more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. We are here to teach them respect, kindness, compassion, and love for their fellow man. I will not sit silently while an individual constantly insults our students and their neighborhood, my neighborhood. I read a quote once that said, "Racism is a refuge for the ignorant. It seeks to divide and to destroy. It is the enemy of freedom and deserves to be met head on and stamped out. I speak up tonight to fight and to stamp out these racist remarks." In the book To Kill a Mockingbird, Judge Taylor said, "People generally see what they look for and hear what they listen for." To this individual, I say, stop looking for reasons to hate. Stop looking for reasons to hate those from my neighborhood. Stop looking for reasons to hate my neighborhood. And open your ears to hear the incredible things that are taking place on the north side of our district and the incredible things that our students are achieving. Most of all, stop being ignorant about things you know nothing about and hateful. You don't live in the area, so stop speaking on it as if you do and as if you understand those of us who do and live in that neighborhood. And to those who hear this, I would say to you, please stay woke and stop the hate. Thank you.
Next. Last night I attended the RCPTA meeting, and we were talking about one of the things that came up. David Lopez, who chairs the meeting, was how to get more schools and more parents involved. And tonight, the Rotary Club from Walnut was here, giving a very generous donation, not just tonight but also during the holiday season. And it got me thinking about volunteering. I mentioned a couple of months ago about, paying it forward. But I looked up and I Googled volunteering before the meeting tonight. And they say, this is a national survey that was taken, they say that volunteers are now donating $24.14 an hour of work. It's up 2.5% from the previous year. In California, it's actually $28.46 per hour. So every hour that's being donated to our district is equal to paying an employee $28.46, which is a huge amount when you look at the number of volunteers we have, not just with PTA, but throughout the district. Currently, there's 63 million American volunteers that are donating 8 billion hours in the United States. And they're donating their time, their talents, and their effort to improve people's lives. And it was like Dr. Mitchell said at the RCPTA meeting last night, it was predominantly the parents that were there. And she was saying, somebody is at home feeding and dressing and getting your kids to bed because you're sacrificing that to be at the PTA meeting to help us out. And there is a lot of sacrificing that goes on. But the value of volunteering within the nation is $193 billion business. So without the volunteers in groups like Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, Seroptimus, PTA, et cetera, we would be hurting. They provide an important service. I know myself personally, my son, when he was in elementary school, was identified as needing glasses by the Lions Club. So they help our students learn, and they help, and they are partners in our education process. Volunteerism empowers people to support causes that they care about. When change makers work together to tackle tough problems, our world becomes a better place. By sharing concrete data and highlights that impacts the volunteers, we can inspire and mobilize more individuals and organizations to realize their potential and to become active participants in sparking change. And I hope that we as board members, when we're out in the community, will encourage our parents, neighbors, friends to volunteer, not just in the school system, but in their community, and make it a better place. Thank you.
Donna?
Thank you for sticking it out, those of you that are here. A happy new year. I will mention just five things I saw visiting schools this last month. I saw so many thought-out, meaningful lessons given by our teachers at all of our schools. They work so hard to prepare for these lessons, which creates outstanding learning where all students were engaged. Ibarra has an innovation lab now, and they have an innovation club. And the club meets at lunch with Jackie the TOSA, and three or four students from the class learn the green screen and everything. And then those students go and teach the rest of the class and the teacher, and then they can use the innovation lab, as well as Jackie has lessons for them with manipulatives to use once a month. I was able to see the Alternative Learning Center at Santana. Mr. Perez asked many questions to the students, and it was nice to know the students are saying they know what they did wrong at their high school, and they're more can concentrate here doing the work on the computer, and they realize what they did wrong, and he would ask about the credits, and now he's taking over the Alternative Learning Center, and Mr. Perez seems to have very good ideas and to improve it. At Alvarado, many wonderful things, but we went into an intervention class, and the teacher was asking the students to share what their academic goal was and their behavioral goal, and they were able to say both of them and talked about it. At Hurley, they started intervention classes and enrichment classes for 30 minutes, 4 days a week. And I saw technology being used at the intervention classes. And it's the first time I saw an enrichment class of students that were in a small group, like six students, and their vocabulary was all academic, and they had a little sign when it was their turn to talk, and they all were talking. It was terrific. At Santana, I finally got to see the Centerio canine consulting firm come with the dog to check for drugs. And it was interesting to see how they did it. All the kids had to go outside and leave all their belongings, and the dog went around and smelled everywhere. It was interesting. So many wonderful things are happening at Roland, especially inside the classrooms. Thank you.
Lynn?
It's getting late for these three people that are still here. Four, sorry.
Four.
I'll make my comments short. It's nice to be back to a regular routine. I think I've got my day straightened out now. Took a little while to get back into the swing. Today at Hurley, when I was visiting the campus, I was very pleased to see how the PBIS system is working, the Positive Behavior Intervention System. They're very happy with it, and they're having success with their students. They also break their students into groups where those who really need language development, reading development, if they're lagging on their tests, they're a special group that works together every single day for a block of time. And it's really paying off at that school. I was pleased with the discussion on dual immersion today and the other reports we had. I was especially pleased about the audit report. And I'll see everybody next month.
Tonight's very special because the audience and the speakers tonight, most of them don't speak English, and they take a lot of guts for them to stand on the podium to speak, and they don't expecting a translator. They don't expect I'm translating, but they take the podium and express their comments and tell everybody what they think. Whatever they tell us, I think this is very important. And I think good start for them. Start participating, attending the board meetings. Most of them are new faces. They never come to the district office, but they see the agenda has a dual immersion program. What's the interested in that's how they hear. So I think that's a good start for the us to communicate with the community. So I'm glad that we have the instruction, the direction to the to Dr. Mitchell and her staff, and we take option one and go ahead and hope this program will be successful and it will help the community and help the families. And also, I'd like to remind Dr. Mitchell and your staff, and this month, starting this month, the legalizing of the marijuana. And also, I understand there's no change to the student, they're still illegal, but for the adults, there are changes. They may bring marijuana to the street, to maybe office, maybe then. So we need to pay more attention on that. And that's the big change to the community starting January 1st. Yeah. Okay. So next is, we need to return to closed session. We have not finished our closed session yet. Okay. Let's move to close.
At
8:51. We recessed closed session at 8:51. Mm-hmm. I was expecting a short meeting. Okay, I need a motion for adjourn the meeting.
I'll move.
Donna?
I need David, can you second?
Second. Wait, David, second.
Go ahead. Are we on?
We now join at 9:46.
Yeah. So start. So we do have. We're returning from closed session at 9:46.
Returning closed session 9:46.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a motion?
I move.
Adjourn. Donna.
I second.
Do you want second?
All in favor.
All in favor. Say aye.
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 Motion carried.
Motion adjourned. Meeting adjourned. 9:47.
Meeting adjourned. 9:47. 9:47.